friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Andrew's joining us right now on the fan hotline. Andrew, are you a pizza guy?
And Jeff, who doesn't like pizza?
Okay, that's what I figured, but you know, you got to double check, right?
I mean,
some people don't.
You know, my stomach doesn't always enjoy pizza. I pick my spots.
How about a nice mayo pizza for you? Nice mayo pizza.
See, he went there.
No, my point being is that I'm not pizza's not a weekly thing for me. I love pizza, so I'm like, if I'm gonna have a good pizza, it's like, if I'm going to have pizza, it better be a good pizza, that kind of thing.
I would agree with you on that, and this one is, so that's good.
Hey, we just had
former offensive lineman in the NFL, Niners, Vikings, Cardinals, Alex Boone on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Boone's from Cleveland.
Yep.
And he said, wouldn't it be great to flip the script and run it 52 times and pass it 17 this week, and that's a way they might be able to get this offense back. I hated the balance. Yeah. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, I think everyone agrees that it wasn't right. Well, also, when you go back and watch the game again, so go back and watch the end of the second quarter. They go 2 minute. Obviously, they go shotgun. They march down the field, and they end up with a field goal there at the end of the half. So they found some success there moving the football. Then they open up the third quarter with a couple of runs, a couple of penalties, and then, you know, the Steelers, I think they just kind of realized they're not running the ball and they fell behind and we got to throw. And then it gets out of hand, understandably. So I get it. I get why. But still, when you look at the numbers at the end of the game, you go, that's not what it should be. Context matters, I think, and the score matters. But at the end, you know, that ratio is not what you want. When you look at the weather, though, this week, and you realize it could be pouring rain and bad wind, you got to run the ball. And the Dolphins can't stop the run. I mean, the Chargers were down to their fifth tackle. Bobby Hart played right tackle last week, and I think he just got there. Fifth tackle, third running back, and they ran for 140 yards. So you got to do that. Their run fits last week, I was talking to somebody with the Chargers, which is just awful. Now, they obviously go back to the lab and try to clean that up this week in Miami, but the formula is there to run the football. I mean, if you want to get Rocket Sanders up and active for the first time since week one, do that too. I don't care how many backs you dress, run the ball.
Agreed completely.
Andrew, give me your assessment.
Okay, great. Good to talk to you guys.
Hey, it was good.
See
peace
you later.
Out. You going for a walk on the beach while you're talking to us or no?
No, I already did that this morning.
Oh, I didn't say. Did you post it already or no?
Do I have to like document every workout?
I don't know. That's your new thing now. No, I like these little, they're like, okay. Deep thoughts with Andrew Siciliano as you're walking along the beach, giving us football information.
I
like
yesterday.
It.
No. I did one yesterday.
I missed it.
It was okay. the historical not historical context, but tonight. So, like, look at the AFC North. We, you know, the Steelers obviously beat the Browns. The Bengals aren't any good. The Ravens are what they are. They have the same record as the Browns. They're on a bye. If the Steelers win tonight, and Mike Tomlin bat on the road on Thursday night, we know that they're going to have a 3.5 game lead in the division heading into Week 8, and no AFC North team since they redid the divisions in 2002, and the AFC North as we know it was born. No AFC North team has ever had a 3.5 game lead heading into Week 8. So that's what's in front of the Steelers tonight in the icy hot bowl. So I did that one yesterday.
I don't think Mike's real happy about seeing Joe Flacco this week either, based on what he said last week. Or was that earlier this week? That's right.
It was earlier this week. I know the week's all melt into one.
They're blending together. What'd you think of that?
It kind of caught me off guard because you don't see shots fired like that. You just don't. Especially coach at GM, it made no sense. I think, you know, my gut reaction was, wow, he's really ticked off that he's got to prepare for Joe Flacco and not Jake Browning. Joe Flacco might be able to, you know, get some, you know, throw together a couple of touchdowns and keep the game interesting, whereas Jake Browning, he probably views as an easy target, a guy he could turn over a couple of times and they could win that game. That's how I read it. I think it was unnecessary, totally unnecessary. But, hey, whatever.
What do you think of Dylan Gabriel?
He threw the ball too many times last week, but he's not afraid to throw to the middle of the field. I think he's got crazy good accuracy middle of the field. Would love to see some shots outside the numbers. Maybe his best play of the day was dropped by Harold Fannin. That play on the move where Harold on the sidelines got to look that ball into his hands. That has been a reoccurring theme. He's dropped a couple this year. He's also, played some fantastic football and broken tackles and been tough in the middle of the field. So I don't want to pound on Harold Fannin. But Dylan has done what you asked him to do, which is play turnover-free football. Got to protect him a little bit more and got to be able to stretch the field.
This sounds silly, having the fact that you dropped him back 58 times. Should they turn him loose a little bit more?
Meaning?
Everything seemed really controlled rather than, hey, let's try and make some big plays here and make some things happen. And I know the line wasn't doing a great job, and I know the receivers weren't doing a great job, but I wonder if it felt a little too controlled.
So, Nathan brought up this point last week about how it seems like he's reading it short to long as opposed to long to short. And I think there's some shots there early. If you look
by design, you think on that, Andrew? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you would have to hope that it isn't by design. I mean, part of that could be, hey, I'm not going to turn the ball over. I need to make sure that I protect the football. Or maybe he's being coached to go short to long, but there are, which I'd be surprised, but there are some plays out there schemed up early that I think have been there for the taking. But to be fair, there have been plays schemed up there for the taking early with Joe Flacco as well. I mean, there are plays schemed up early that are almost there every week. Like, I mean, go back to the game in which Deshaun got hurt last year when he tore his Achilles. Jerry Jeudy is still running free on the first play from scrimmage. So, there are plays there. Hopefully the line can protect and the quarterback can see him. But Dylan, look, if you tell me that Dylan Gabriel played Brian Flores and Mike Tomlin and didn't turn the ball over, I mean, any rookie quarterback, that is an accomplishment and a good one and something to build on.
Give me a wide receiver that we can count on this week. Give me one that you think might be able to have a good game this week.
I mean, the answer should be Jerry Jeudy. I could tell you that when the Browns last played the Dolphins, we remember week 17 a year ago, but now in retrospect, feel like similar conditions to what we may have Saturday. Jerry Jeudy had 12 receptions that day. 12 in the rain and the slop. Remember that game? Miles had 2 sacks on Tyler Huntley. Actually should have had 3. They say one was a run and they took it away and didn't give him a sack. But Jerry Jeudy had 12 receptions that day, a career high. Also, something I dug up last night while doing some Travis Hunter research. Jerry Jeudy has the most snaps of any wide receiver in the NFL this year. He has the most drops as well. The drops are subjective, but nobody has taken more snaps at his position this year than Jerry Jeudy. For whatever that is worth, I'm not suggesting it's the reason he's dropping footballs, but he is out there. He's not coming off the field at a rate that no other wide receiver in the league has.
I think it would help Jerry if other guys stepped up. So let me throw some names at you. I would love to see more of all three of these guys, Isaiah Bond, Jamari Thrash. And I threw out the name Malachi Corley the other day. He's on the team. You could throw him the ball and see if you have anything there, Andrew. And I mentioned those guys because they're here.
Look, Malachi Corley was a guy that everyone loved coming out of school. Maybe not everyone loved coming out of school.
Went to
the
Western Senior Kentucky Bowl.
He had the Yak King IG handle and all that. The Jets traded up to get him just last year. We're talking 19 months ago, traded up to get him near the top of the third round. So he's talented. Obviously,
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
it ended pretty quickly there. Change of administration, the GM who drafted him and the coach that drafted him no longer there, so the Browns have him. They worked him in a little bit in Minnesota, or rather against Minnesota in London. Sure, someone's got to step up. Isaiah Bond had that fourth down catch last week. You know, Isaiah Bond, they're targeting him over the middle. Would love to target him outside the numbers, as I said. You know, he's a race car. Let's get him on the track. Maybe the weather isn't the best to do that on Sunday this week, but let's get him on the track and see if we can open it up. You know, Miami still has speed on their side of the ball. We're talking about how bad their defense is, but they still have Devon Achane, and they still have Jaylen Waddle. And Darren Waller right now, guys, who is off the couch and out of the music studio, Darren Waller looks as good as any tight end of the AFC. He leads AFC tight ends with four touchdowns. He's only played three games. So, you know, they have weapons over there as well. And they do score points. As they give up a lot, but they score a lot too. So the Browns can't win this game with 13, I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong.
Can they get to 20?
I would love to get to 20. Hey, I don't believe in broadcaster jinxes, but I mistakenly said during the game in London when they got to 17 that, you know, forget about 20, maybe we get to 30 today. Alas, neither happened.
Oh, Andrew.
There's no such thing as the broadcaster jinx.
That is correct.
There isn't.
That is correct.
You know, Jeff was throwing a no-hitter one time, and I said it, and boom, next guy hit a home
run. Like, do you ever, like the guy on the mound can hear, let's say the windows are open, and Hammy might mention that someone's, or Matt Underwood, that no one's given up a hit. Do you think the pitcher didn't realize that all of a sudden with a quiet crowd, he could hear it?
And he thought, I have a what going? Oh, my God.
Wow, wait, I didn't realize that. Or you think the kicker is down there? He hasn't missed from this distance in 19 years. You think he didn't know that?
Kaboom.
But you mentioning it.
Maybe he didn't think about it. It is negative thought if you want to get into the psychology of sport, maybe. And in baseball, the odds are that you could hear the play-by-play announcer if you have the unbelievable tones of a Tom Hamilton.
Okay, and Tom Hamilton.
Which happens maybe once every 15 years.
We all agree.
Yeah.
But do you think that him or the broadcaster saying it carries more weight than the guy on his couch saying it, yelling, hey, Junior, get downstairs. So-and-so's throwing a no-hitter.
It's just if you hear it psychologically, that's all. But you shouldn't be hearing the broadcaster anyway. So I agree. I'm with you on this. We're on the same page. It is possible. You just don't want negative thoughts.
Give me the other one.
Like, why don't you talk to a starter on the day that he's starting? Like, why are you not even supposed to say baseball. Hi? That's stupid.
That's baseball superstition.
Yeah. So what's it? That's the same thing.
Unless you're Kevin Millwood.
Well, part of it is allowing them to focus. It's not. It's like it's a jinx if you speak to them. It's, hey, they're in their own head. They're going through their game plan. Let them do their thing. That's how I always learned it.
I don't know. I think it depends on the personality. Like Jeff and I both said, you take it. Like we both respected Kevin Millwood, who was a guy that was around a lot when we were there. Mm-hmm. And Kevin would, like, you know, we'd see Kevin walking out on a day that you knew he was going to start, and you'd be sitting in the dugout, and all of a sudden Kevin
would come up to you and say,
hey, what's going on, guys? What are you guys doing?
Scary.
I think it just depends on the personality of the person. I don't know. Weird personalities.
Or maybe Kevin near the end of his career with the Tribe was like, I don't care anymore. We're good.
There you go.
It's possible.
I'm thinking the Browns win this game on Sunday.
I hope the Browns win this game on Sunday. I mean, if Miami's not that good, there's really no other way to say it. But they do score points, and that is what you can't just look at their record. Well, I mean, your record is what it says you are.
There you go.
About somebody. So you can't. At 1-5, look at anybody, even if they are 1-5, and go, oh yeah, this is a win. Their defense, not good. Like 30th, 31st, 32nd, some 29 in most major categories. Most importantly, total defense, like they're giving up 400 yards a game and on the ground. So that says this should be your opportunity to move, i.e. run the ball. But your defense has to do the job as well against a quarterback who's going to get it out quickly. And I know that's always the MO against the Browns, and Kevin reiterated that yesterday. But, you know, Mike McDaniel calls plays for a quarterback that can't get hit. Remember that. Tua can't get hit. And I'm not trying to be flippant here, but with his concussion history, he can't get hit.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is quick game. quick, rhythm out, ball out. He's not taking seven-step drops, period. That ain't going to happen. So, you know, hopefully the Browns get to Tua and they can bring him down a couple of times. But if this is one of those, oh, we only sack him once game, and last week, obviously, you're not getting to the quarterback, although there are a couple of plays where Rodgers clearly got antsy and got the ball out because the Browns did get quick pressure, clearly, and many of those were incompletions. But if the sack numbers aren't there this week against Tua, it's because he gets the ball out as quick as humanly possible because that's how he's coached. They had a trick play last. They had a play last week where Achan was early in the game. He was running right. He reversed field and came all the way back to the left and maybe got back to the line of scrimmage. But you know, when Tua sees him reverse field, he starts moving with Achan to get out in front, and then you see him just kind of like go, "Nope, I can't do this," and got out of the way. He's not throwing a block. He can't get hit.
Look forward to your call on Sunday. Thanks, buddy.
Likewise, guys.
Andrew said, yep, script didn't look good. The balance was not good. He liked that idea. Andy, can they pull that off? Do they have to do that?
Well, the weather's not supposed to be great Sunday from what I'm hearing, so they may have to run the ball a little bit more. But you do remember, I mean, Andrew talked about Jerry Jeudy having that great game in the rain down in Miami. So, I mean, we could sit here and say, do it. I don't know, is Kevin going to do that? And if you feel like your best plan of attack is to throw short passes like they did last week, they just need to, you know.
Which they'll tell you is like a run,
yeah,
but I don't buy it.
They need to finish. They had three really good drives in the fourth quarter that resulted in 3 points. They ate up a ton of clock.
They had a 16-play drive, and they had an 18-play drive.
Yeah, and then they had another one that was okay. It wasn't a horrible drive. But
it was a 9-play.
Something like that. So, I mean, you look at that, and you say to yourself, okay, if you can do that, as long as you can get in the end zone at the end of it, that's awesome. That's how you win games. They've got to learn how to finish on offense, and I think the only way that's going to happen is if the wide receivers hang on to the football. But if you want to run it, get it there by the run. Jeff talked about that ad nauseum at the beginning of the week.
Oh, I made you nauseous, did I?
No, a little bit. Get it in the end zone. You got to finish. That's the difference between teams that win and don't.
They're three field goal drives.
You got to finish.
Yeah, three field goal drives were 16 plays, 72 yards, 9 plays, 34 yards, and 18 plays, 54 yards.
I mean, 18-play drive should result in 7 points when it's all said and done.
Well, in theory.
I wonder how many 18-play drives didn't end in points this year. And how many of them ended up in touchdowns, 18-play drives plus?
That's a fine question, Andy.
Finish. You got to finish.
Yeah, but will they commit to that? I honestly think that they're capable of doing that. I really do. Right now, the Browns have thrown the number one number of passes in the NFL. 249 pass attempts for the Browns. See, this to me is just absurd. You don't throw it well, so let's throw it more than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just nuts to you?
Yes. A little bit, yes.
I mean, and it's, Andy, it's significantly more. Remember Joe Flacco was throwing it like crazy. And then this last week they had Dylan throw it like crazy. And it's not Joe and it's not Dylan. It's the play calling. And Kevin's calling the plays. I don't get it. Next in line is San Francisco at 241. So they're by far, and then it drops off quickly. So
I'm not defending this, but I will throw it out there because I think it needs to be said.
And again, second worst completion percentage in the NFL while throwing the most passes.
The old philosophy of the West Coast offense was the idea that the short passing game was an extension of the run game.
Exactly.
Is that maybe the idea that they're working under?
Again, except for one thing.
I don't know. I don't agree with that statement. I just think it needs to be put out there.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Except for one thing. If you run the football, you get the football in the hands of the playmaker. I'm going to go 99.5% of the time. 0.5, you might fumble. Your playmaker gets the football 99.5% of the time because you turn around and hand it to him.
Mm-hmm.
If you're throwing it to him as an extension of the run game, and Dan, I mentioned that earlier, the short pass, as Dan, as Andy said, the short passing game, a lot of people call that the run game. All right, well, you're only getting the ball into the hands of your playmaker 57-point-something percent of the time. Well, that's not good. Is that good, Andy?
No.
I don't think it is either.
Well,
you want another scary stat?
Yeah, give me your scary stats. This is scary stat time with Uncle Jeff.
Browns are bottom third in the NFL in rush attempts. Why? I loved what Andrew said.
Is that a combination of not having Quinshon in the beginning of the season and maybe not trusting Dylan and Jerome? I don't know.
They're 25th in total rush attempts. I don't know. Samson was pretty good in the first game, but they threw it to him a lot.
Still weird to think that Quinshon only ran the ball 12 times.
Well, that's silly.
Coming off 100 yards.
What it is. It's silly. And I personally think they can turn around and run the football. I like what Andrew said. Hey, activate Rocket Sanders. Great big guy that they brought in from the Chargers. Great. Put him on the field, too. And Andrew said this. I agree completely. I don't care how many running backs they have active. Go run the ball. I couldn't agree more. If you're going to activate four guys, go activate four guys.
All right, where are you taking away from, though?
I don't care. They can figure that out.
I don't know if you can do that. You're going to take, okay, so let's start the game with six offensive linemen. Is that what you want to do?
I wouldn't do that.
And then one guy gets hurt. I mean, you still got to figure out how to get it done.
Right.
You got to take two quarterbacks. You're going to take at least two tight ends.
Okay, but Andy, they can figure out how to get another running back into the game if they want to get another running back into the game. I mean, that's up to them. That's what they're paid for. We don't have to sit here and do it. If you think running the football is the way to go and you think activating another guy, then they'll figure it out. They can do that. That's what they make a lot of money. Nate's in West Salem. Nate.
Well, gentlemen, let's not act like we haven't talked this for several years about him not knowing how to run the ball. I'd call it years ago and say, Kevin Stefanski does not know how to run the ball. And then people would say stats about Nick Chubb. Well, you know, he's got these stats, but he doesn't really know the running game. He's too video game Kevin, where they just pass, pass, pass. This team is built for running the game, for running the ball. A team that can't pass, my gosh, you run it. You run it, you run it, you run it, and you keep running it. That way, if we do happen to go three and out, we've burned 3 minutes off the clock instead of 40 seconds every time, which then also deprives the other team of driving the ball down on the field for us. This, which, heaven forbid, we might then open up the passing game because we've ran the ball so much that the secondary has to play in a little bit. This is like peewee football.
It's about as basic as you get, Nate. It's about as basic as you get.
What are we doing here?
For the life of me, I do not understand the whole first and goal from the 7. You ran it with him once with Judkins, and then you kept throwing, and then the penalty gave you a first and goal of the 3, and you threw it 3 times.
This is, if this happened in the 80s, my God, this guy'd be out of here.
Yeah, that's
like,
probably
this is
true.
Not the football. This isn't the football we grew up with, which is the football we're comparing our current Browns against. We want to get back and be the run the damn ball. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you, Nate. Until you show you can't run it. And Kevin said the other day, you know, well, I forget his exact phrasing. But it was in his post-game comments. But it was something along the lines, we weren't running it well or they took the run away from us. Well, I can tell you, I wrote it down. Judkins had 6 carries in the first half for 14 yards. Does that mean you can't run the ball all game? It means in the first,
you know, the game the changed, half, it Jeff, didn't go the well. Game changed. You know, we were trying to come back. You're down more than 2 touchdowns. It's just the way the game is. You can't run the ball. You got to throw the ball.
He ran it 6 times for more yardage in the second half. Ed is in LaGrange.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's
Couldn't
up,
be finer.
Ed?
Hey, I'm Tomlin's rant about Flacco. I like Tomlin. I respect him as a coach and as a man. I mean, he does a great job, but that was a terrible rant. And I would love now to see Flacco beat him. How ironic.
Why was it a terrible rant?
Well, because he's crying and complaining. It's not like we gave Cincinnati a 25-year-old guy in his prime.
Any chance he was defending Kevin Stefanski? Did you ever think of it that way?
Maybe, but he was, I mean, just to blame the GM and jump all over the GM. I mean, he wasn't playing. So
it is the first time we've ever made a trade with the Bengals. It seemed a little unusual. I get it, whatever.
Yeah, but I think he's crying because he has to face Flacco instead of the other QB.
Yeah, I would be too if I was him, because Jake Browning wasn't getting it done, Ed. You traded a quarterback in division to a team you're trying to catch.
Are you really, if you're Mike Tomlin, is that the reason you're really bringing that up at a press conference?
No, not at all. It's the other thing. But if we're sitting here in a studio in Cleveland and you think, wait a minute, you just traded a quarterback to a team that needs a quarterback in the division that you're trying to catch.
That, I agree with.
Okay. Yeah, that's a little odd, isn't it?
Odd, yes.
Jim's in Concord. Hello, Jim.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Couldn't be finer. I think I've said that 5 times today.
Yeah. Anyways, I was a little disgusted after Sunday's game, but you know what? Stefanski was taking what they were giving him. He was 2nd and 9 a lot when they ran the ball. We could not run the ball. So I get him throwing the ball, and they had a lot of drops. And if Gabriel hits Judy in the end zone wide open, it's a different game. So he knows how to run the ball. I don't know this guy saying he doesn't know how to run the ball. He knows how to run the ball. I want to see how the season ends. I'm not saying he shouldn't be fired or anything, but, you know, some of these calls are, you know, I think people just have to chill out. He's got a rookie quarterback. I'm a Shadur guy, but Gabriel looked pretty good. I'm willing to give him some more games because he looked pretty good.
All right, Jim. We will see what happens on Sunday as they take on the Miami Dolphins. Isn't that fun?
All right, it's a winnable game. That's all I'm going to say as we look forward to that game, because it's a winnable game. They should win this week. I don't think there's anybody out there that thinks they couldn't win, shouldn't win. Get to 20 points, finish the drive. Like, you don't need to be football Mensa on this thing. Maybe we're overthinking it. Maybe they're overthinking it. Just get to win number 2 and then see what happens after that. And don't get upset if it messes up the draft pick, because it doesn't mean if you pick number 1 necessarily you're going to have the best quarterback with the longest tenure in the NFL.
Dodgers have looked great, though. Credit to them. No ill will, no animosity. They're playing really good ball, and they're taking on the Brewers. Chance to go up 3-0. And in the American League, the Toronto Blue Jays come back from the dead last night. Scored 13 runs, beat Seattle 13-4, and that series is now 2-1 Seattle on top. So again, Seattle with a chance to take control tonight, or the Blue Jays a chance to just make it a 3-game series.
Yeah, I'm all for the former Guardians. I know you're rooting for Seattle. I'm rooting for Blue Jays in this one.
Is the tie to the former Guardians that strong for you on this?
Well, you know, I liked Miles Straw when he was here. I know he struggled at the plate.
Liked him.
Yeah.
Jimenez hasn't moved out of the upstairs bedroom yet.
If you want me to start listing all the trashy quarterbacks that had no existence.
There are no trashy ones. It was just Deshaun Kizer, and he got the raw deal.
There's more. And the free agents and the lists. And you don't want me to go through this.
Did you send Oscar all of his stuff back, or you still have
some? I love that guy. Playing in Japan.
Mercado?
Still have a couple boxes in the guest room?
You can actually watch some, it's called Nippon Baseball.
Yes.
And they dub the play-by-play in some studio somewhere in America. And it's terrible, but I love watching it.
It's wildly entertaining.
It's incredibly fun.
The fans are fantastic.
It's great.
The coordinated dances are all-timers.
It's awesome. I love the occasional fields that don't have grass in the infield. They're all dirt. Yep.
Oh, like Acushnet in Pittsburgh, where they played football last weekend.
Okay, come on back, Andy.
There was no grass on that field last week. Okay, that thing was trash.
Talking baseball.
Yeah, you're talking about a field, Jeff. I mentioned another field that was trash last week. You're talking about baseball. You said, I'm watching baseball where they don't have grass. You're talking about something that absolutely no one cares about, right? Let's be honest. And now all of a sudden, I just say, hey, by the way, Pittsburgh looked horrible last week.
An entire country cares about Japan baseball.
Yeah, but no one here does. Not today.
It was actually about a 7-second comment, and now it's become a 2-minute comment.
Yeah, well, that's your fault.
I just wanted to be a jerk.
You weren't rooting for Bieber at all last night?
No, I wasn't rooting against him. I'm rooting. Can I go men again on you?
Sure.
I'm rooting for a good baseball series, and I think we have one.
Yeah, I'll buy that. Well, I'd like to see the other series. One.
I was happy for Andrés Giménez.
Yes.
I like Andrés.
Yes.
Can't hit very well, but boy, he can sure pick it, and he had a two-run homer last night. In fact, he had a bunch of hits last night. So good for him. 13 runs on the board for the Blue Jays.
That team carries the weight of an entire country on their back.
You know,
it's a lot of pressure.
Has it cracked you up like it's cracked me up? Ernie Clements, the one who got away. Ernie did a fine job here. He tried hard. He played well. And we have 5 Ernie Clements on this team right now.
Yeah. To be honest with you, he wasn't even the first name I thought of. I just said the other guys first. I was thinking about Straw, who got in late yesterday. And then
Junior Caminero is the one that's going to tick me off for a while.
Yeah, I understand.
That's the one that's going to make me grumpy.
But we have a bunch of utility guys, and Ernie Clement has done a fine job for the Blue Jays, and that's terrific.
He's my new Yandy Diaz of things I'm grumpy about with the Guardians.
I wonder if, you know, I already received an email from somebody. You think Bieber, with one start, has earned himself a big contract for next year? And I wrote back and said, I'm hard-pressed to think that any team's going to give Bieber right now a 4 or a 5 year. But if I'm a Major League Baseball team, and he'll be in his first year, full year back from Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm. I'd be very, very happy to give him a 2 year with maybe an option, team option for a third at good money. Shane can pitch.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? I think you would give him
that, but I wouldn't give him a 4 or 5 year guaranteed contract.
Is there somebody that would, though?
Yeah.
Yankees? I don't know who.
I think he'll end up with one of three teams. If I had to bet.
Go for it.
Toronto.
Yeah, that would make sense.
San Diego Padres?
Perhaps.
Los Angeles Dodgers.
I'm off to San Diego.
He's a California kid.
Yeah, I'd play in San Diego.
Well, they're a mess right now, though.
I don't care. I'd love San Diego.
Manager just left. And
you know, that great weather and the fine scenery of San Diego.
And they spend a lot of money.
Yes.
They do a lot of things, so they could fit him in very easily.
Great ballpark, too.
Do you think that, you know, so we're watching the Jays, we're watching the Mariners. Mm-hmm. Let's just forget about the Dodgers and the Brewers right now.
Well, that's easy. Okay.
Do you think our team can compete next year with teams like the Blue Jays and the Mariners? I'll give you my answer while you think about yours.
I'm going to say yes, we could.
I think so, too. However.
No.
Hold on, Dan. Thank you.
Things have to get changed.
There are about 3 everyday bats away, in my opinion. And it's not just like add a bat. I think they're about 3 everyday bats away from being legit. I really do. I think their offense is just pathetic. And they need about 3 guys who they can drop into the lineup.
Yes, I totally agree. Like, I can't even, or maybe somebody had an off year this year and can step it up next year.
On this team?
You never know.
Name me 2.
Don't make me do this.
See, I don't think those guys are on this team, Andy. Do you, Dan?
I mean, Manzardo maybe turns into a guy who hits 30 to 35 out.
Well, but see now, Kyle. But Kyle is on the upswing.
Oh, yeah, God, I was already expecting him. I thought he was talking about other guys.
I didn't think he'd hit 30 to 35 out. But Fry, I'll take it.
Fry can turn things around.
On this team, no. The reason I say no is the exact reason you're laying out. Look at those lineups. You got Vladdy Jr., who pretty much neutralizes everything Jose Ramirez does. Then look at the rest of the Toronto lineup. There's a ton of power all over the place.
Yeah, but can our pitching counter that power?
You have to hit the ball over the fence.
Yeah, but
the reason the Brewers are down right now is because they can't hit the ball over the fence. You have to be able to capitalize on mistakes. You have to. There's no underbelly bullpens that you're dealing with.
You're saying we have to play. The only way we can win is we can't make mistakes.
There's no fourth and fifth starters to raise your numbers on in the playoffs. There's no long men and underbellies of bullpens that you're going to go up against in the playoffs. It's not there. You're getting the best of the best. And the best don't make many mistakes. And when the best make their mistakes, it can't be loud singles.
And here's the thing. Even if your pitching is top notch, You're not going to look at our football team. You're not going to win games by not scoring any points, even if your defense is great. It's the same deal with the Guardians. You're going to have to find 3 bats, and I'm not sure where you're going to find them. My fingers are crossed that you'll find at least one of them in the farm system. Well, I hope Chase DeLauter makes the team and is healthy. If Travis Bazzana has a great spring, why not, Andy? put him out there, right?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, he's going to end up out there, or they're going to end up trading him. I mean, I can't imagine.
No, they're not going to trade Bisonha.
I hope they don't. I want to see what it looks like. Because they're going to have to pay him at some point. Because it's maybe seven years down the road. But maybe the guys they think they have now can be here for a while. I mean, I could find you a reason. Don't you think he's a piece that they could get more back? What if they got an active bat for now? If they think they're living for the now,
I'm not saying I want them
to do that in any way, shape, or form. But I think you got to look at everything as an asset, and that's kind of. I mean, do you look at the player or do you look at what could be an asset? It's the same thing as like trying to say
the biggest asset.
It's like trying to trade Myles Garrett. It's the same thing. Like people that say they want that. This kid's a number one overall. I don't care if it's baseball or not, and you don't have to pay him big money for a while. I get it and I understand that part of it, but I'm also saying, do you want to do a quick rebuild? I don't know. Maybe the number one overall who hasn't had a chance to come up right now might be worth a couple bats who might be close to the other side or on their downside. I'm just throwing it out there because if you're not going to back it financially, you've got to look at whatever other assets you have, like pitching. We have assets at pitching. Is that going to be able to help us get a couple bats so that we can compete with the other teams? I don't know. I know right now we have starting pitching. I also know that the bullpen is fickle, man. There are years when your bullpen could be the greatest bullpen on earth, and you could bring back the same group the next year, and they get lit up, and you're trying to figure out what you're doing by the middle of June. I mean, it's just you got to get lucky with a bullpen. And you know, we were able to do that this year. But if you're not going to back it up with, you know, outrageous contracts that maybe don't fit your build, or it's giving up too much percentage of what your total payroll is, then you got to look at the other assets to figure out where you're going. And if you like, I mean, Jeff, they drafted middle infielders for years. You going to tell me that maybe they're, I don't know, are you going to do this? Well, we took this guy number one overall. We're going to give him a chance. I don't know. I'm looking at assets.
He's under control money-wise for a long time. That's the greatest asset he has. Neil's in Chagrin Falls.
Hey, Neil.
Hey, guys. Love the Guardians talk, so we can forget about the Browns. But you said a lot of, I think, ideas that I don't think will ever happen in terms of getting rid of Bisonha. You could never move him. But the hardest thing when you talk about getting three bats, we just threw away $4 million on a guy who's hitting 100. So how
Neil.
With the Blue Jays.
161.
The Blue Jays, 161. Got it. That's definitely better. So how are you going to beat the Blue Jays with eight guys? You can't.
So Neil,
until we fix that,
can't argue.
And until we get the Lauder hitting, it's just it's a tough road. I mean, this was probably the least amount of baseball I watched because of their summer all year. I'm a season ticket holder.
You weren't in on the end?
Oh, heck yeah, I was. Oh, okay. In August,
yeah.
Baseball is the best. I went to all three of those games against the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the same old story where we fall 2, 3, 4 hits shy because the guys pitch differently to Kwan and to Ramirez. And there's nobody there to protect them.
And that's been an issue. Neil, you're right. Still, though, you talked about the great August, the great September. It was so much fun here in Northeast Ohio.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.